those who didn't, you haven't seen the supplemental before, okay, real quick, that's just some supplemental information for what it says in the red in the back. And it's good outlines, good information. There's some handouts in it, okay, graphs and that sort of thing. But to be very helpful, very helpful. It's not going to be part of the course, but it's great reference material, and you can, again, refer to it. If you want to move some of those graphs up into the question area, that'd be good, too, for reference for you. But be sure to look at that. And, again, I hope all that helps you in your future study of the Book of Exodus and enhances your study and, again, gives you some teaching material, okay, for you to learn with. So that's that second part, okay? First part is what we're on tonight, and we're going to start with the Pentateuch on Lesson 1. We know Pentateuch. If you heard the word Pentagon, okay, that may give you the idea that that's at 34 acres up there in Maryland where they put the Pentagon for the military, and it's five-sided, okay? And here we're going to do the Pentateuch, which leads us to think that Penta is five, Teuch is books, so five books. And these are put together in that session, referred to that way. Now, you'll also hear terms of Torah, and I think that's the term I've always heard is Torah. And matter of fact, Torah is translated inside the scriptures. And I've given some notes to that, and the idea of law is law. There's some other translations for that, but law is a pretty standard translation for the word Torah. And again, inside this Pentateuch, the second book of that, okay, is Exodus, the book we're studying tonight. First book is Genesis, which we studied a year ago. So in the word Exodus, okay, in the Torah, and again, it's translations there where it says it's 219 times, 25% of the Old Testament, okay, it's pretty what it makes up. And so you can think about that. So it's a healthy section of the Old Testament when you think of the first five books. And maybe you already know, but the first five books is proven to be and illustrated to be the author by Moses. And Pentateuch really came along in 160 A.D., that word being used. And you can look up Pentateuch and you won't find it inside the scriptures anywhere. It's just a word applied to the first five books. But you will find the word Torah. And again, that's been from the beginning. It's been a word inside scriptures. Now, and again, it first appears in Genesis 26. Now, when we think about the word Torah and we think about the word law, okay? What is law? What is law? It rules? It's rules, okay? I've got written down here, rules for conduct. Rules for conduct, how we act, okay? And hopefully our thoughts direct our actions. And with law, it's rules for conduct established and enforced by authority. Okay, we see it every day, whether it's a stop sign, okay? And God established those also. It's rules for conduct. And inside the Pentateuch, there's all these rules dealing with, oh man, a myriad of things, all kinds of relationship items, cattle, worship, priestly duties, how the tabernacle is exactly built, not to mention the guidance that's given. Okay, so all those things are there. All those things are those rules. And if I could use the word law. So those are things that really is an integral part, okay, of these first five books, okay, not to mention the rest of the Bible. But when the Jews talked, when the Bible was written by God, that word law, okay, appears and represents a lot of different aspects inside the Bible, okay? Like us today, when we say law, what do I mean law, okay? Well, there's county law, state law, federal law, okay? There's such things as international law. And all those deal with the relationship that people have, relationship to that lawgiver, the laws are originated for. So now you may have laws in your house, okay? Those may be hard to enforce sometimes, all right? But the point is, there's laws and regulations and ordinances and that sort of thing. So God is no different. He understands us. He understands what he wants. And he communicates to us things that please him. And these laws, these ordinances, that sort of thing are directions for us, guidance for us, okay? And things that pleases him. And so when we deal with the word Torah, that's the way with that, the idea of law. Now, I begin here in Exodus 24:12. And we know what Exodus 20 contains, the Ten Commandments, all right? So we go to 24:12 just to make reference to that. And he said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show kindness to my master. Okay? And these are tablets of stone. 24:12. What did I do? I'm in Genesis. That's why it's not working out. Y'all catch that? All right. See if y'all said something. Okay. There we go. All right. 24:12. Done rewrite. Start again. All right. 24:12. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and remain there." We know what happened on the mountain with Moses. "And I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So here's a pretty obvious case here that he's referring to the Ten Commandments. And I call it law. Law. Now there's seven issues or seven points here that I'm going to get to. That was the first one concerning the Ten Commandments, written on tablets. Now the second one is the Book of the Covenant. What covenant are we talking about? Abrahamic covenant? Yeah, sure, sure. Okay, Genesis chapter 12. But in this one, let's see, this is 24, 1 through 8, especially 7 on 8. Okay, so back in 24, we go to verse 8. So, and this is not quite as direct as we'd see, we're going to cross-reference this one with the Hebrew passage in Hebrews 9. But in this one, Hebrews 1 through 8, dealing with the coming to Aaron, and the elders are there, and the worship is at a distance. And then verse 8, so Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant, which the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." All these words. That's an interesting point because the cross referenced that. What about that blood? Is it the law? Is that what he's talking about? In Hebrews chapter 9, which is a great commentary, because all we do know that this is written by Jews back here. In Hebrews book, the Hebrew letter in the New Testament is also written to Hebrews, okay? And they know the history of that. They know the word forms. They know what the intonations of words mean, okay? More than a Gentile would, of course. And in Hebrews 9, 19 and 20, "For when every command has been spoken by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and goats and water and scarlet wool and hyssop, sprinkled both the book itself and all the people." And verse 20, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you." And also verse 22 is, "According to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood. Without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." So it's an interesting thing there that blood is connected with the covenant, which it should be. Should be. Okay? Now, in our third one, dealing with the idea of regulations, and that's of the tabernacle and the priesthood. Was law applied to that? Yeah, law is applied to the idea of the regulation for the tabernacle and the priesthood and that sort of thing. So in Leviticus chapter 6, in verse 9, we start verse 8. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law for the burnt offering. The burnt offering itself shall remain on the hearth, on the altar. Okay? And so those sort of things remain there. There's a regulation, isn't it? It's a thing concerning tabernacle. It's a thing concerning sacrifices. So they called it, okay, the law for the burnt offering, or the regulations for the priesthood. And they included that in law also, which is a little different than commandments, isn't it? See? Different from that. And let's see. And also, if we're dealing with regulations there, again, we saw sin offering and burnt offerings. It's in verse 25, real quick, let me get to that. 25. And you shall make it for a rim. And I speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. The place where the burnt offering is slain, the sin offering shall be slain before the Lord. It is most holy. So, again, here, his law has a connection, a reference, okay, to the idea of the regulations for the tabernacle and the priesthood and that sort of thing. Now, in our fourth one, various laws can be called the law. And these various laws, especially say Numbers 9, okay, the Passover is mentioned there. Passover. Things that God wants done. God thinks he wants things remembered. Okay? Things to be upheld in their actions from their heart of faith. Now, and also we see in various laws, we can see there in like Numbers 15 and 18, there's a heave offering there. Basically an offering that they would present to the Lord and raise over the hand, then heave it up, okay, lift it over their head. And let's see, and in Numbers 15, there was in 28, verses 28 and 30, there's laws there also, but these laws deal with unintentional consequences of your actions, unintentional consequences. Someone has an accident or hurt or killed, and there's a law there dealing with person-to-person sort of things. Okay? So there are various laws concerning that. And also, which is interesting, in Numbers 15:36, there was an individual there who gathered wood on the Sabbath. Gathered wood on the Sabbath. What was the penalty? Death. So these laws had consequences for violation of these laws. And they were severe. Some cases not. Some cases were just repayment, like for an animal or something like that. So there's things to remember there. So when you say law, okay, encompass these various laws too. There's a myriad of those. I know in Leviticus 11:46 there, which is referenced under various laws, this deals with clean and unclean animals. Well, I think we're all familiar with that somewhat, what's clean, what's unclean. Okay? That's a kind of a chart on that. I may bring that. All right? But those are things that pertain to law. So when there's a references to law, it encompasses so many, many things. Like I mentioned a while ago, it's everyday life, everyday worship. Annual worship, those things you treat your neighbor the way you treat your fellow Jew or your slave, those things involved with that. And under various laws also, Numbers 6:13, which is on your sheet, okay, there's the Nazarite offering. There's laws concerning the Nazarite, you know, the hair and that sort of thing, and the offering they give. So it goes on and on with that. And let's see. And also in Numbers 19:14, it's interesting there. If there's a person dies in your house, well, what do? Well, first of all, you know, you deal with that. Whoever touched the body, who was with it, okay, you're unclean for 7 days. So basically, you isolate yourself for 7 days. Interesting, okay? But all these rules and various laws and that sort of thing are for the good the Israelites in this case, all right? And also good for everyone else. Now, and also, I'm going to make a quick reference again, in 31:21, they had metals, and they had metals. If the metals were not burned up in fire, guess what you do with the metals? You kept them. Okay, and use them for other usage. So there was laws concerning interesting things with the body, with the materials you have, the way you worshiped, a lot of things. So there's a lot of detail. Yeah, a lot of detail when you deal with these various laws. Now, number five is the laws of Deuteronomy. And in there, there's a, you can say there that in, oh, let me see, let me read 28:58. Thought about bringing my pad, may be quicker. It still may be, all right? But I'll work on that. All right. Like in Deuteronomy 28:58. If you are not careful to observe all the words of this law, which are written in this book, to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God. So there's a reference here that these laws written in a book are for all time. That they're not just laws they've made up, not laws they change each day. The laws that are written in a book, okay? And of course, who's writing these? Moses is writing these. And preserving them by the providence of God. Now, and as we saw in that, these laws are there to be honored and awesome as God. Great God. That's what he desires our life to be. Now, and also in 30:10 there, there's the same thing. You got it written out. Observe the words of this law which are written in this book. So there's a lot of books, okay? And this book is what? Deuteronomy, isn't it? See? Okay. So there's reference there to Deuteronomy, the laws inside the book of Deuteronomy. Now, in the sixth one, dealing with how the Bible was used and Jews, is the whole of the first five books. It's interesting here that you can view the law as the first five books. And we'll see in a minute how you can view the rest of the scriptures that way and then parts of it. And so when they talked about law, the first five books is Luke 24, okay? And in Luke 24, 44, it says, again, Jesus talking here, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which were written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." So there's a value here, okay, that in the law of Moses, and he wrote the first five books, there's a reference here directly by Christ and representing it because it talked about him. Various verses that do that. So there's a view here that Jesus was there. And also, let's see. Now, the seventh part, and the last one, there's a view when you say law. The law, you can view it as a whole scriptures, okay? Which is what that last one had also, too. Because the Jews, they viewed it, and really God wrote the book. They viewed it as sometimes, like we just read, it's a can be viewed as the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. So there's a division there in their mind, okay, in God's mind, that this is a completeness of the scripture of the Old Testament and the old law. Now, in Matthew 5:18, it 5:18, Jesus says, let me back up to 17. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets, which he did not. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished. And here he referenced in Law and the Prophets. So there's a division here, okay, an inclusion, okay, of the law of the Old Testament. Now, and again, I'll quickly go through John 10:34. Call it your law, and if you reference that, Psalm 82:6, and your reference is on your paper. And also, Psalm 69:4, written in your law. Again, talking to Jews. And again, let me go in 1 Corinthians 14:21. Okay, go over there real quick. Go to 20. Brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be babes, but in your thinking be mature. In the law, it is written, and that's a quote, okay, from Isaiah 28, by men of strange tongues and by the lips of strangers, I will speak to this people, and even so they will not listen to me, says the Lord. So what we've had here is a lot of references, okay? And when we see law, don't think it's just the five books. Think it could reference the covenant. It could reference the law and the Psalms. It could be an inclusive word, the law of Moses and the Psalms and the prophets. So in the way that the Bible is written, okay, the way it's preserved for us today as a scripture, but when you see law, it may not include the Pentateuch only. It may include that. It may include the different parts, okay? Whether it's regulations, laws, and may include sacrifices and a lot of things. So when you see that word law in Scripture, think about that. Now, any comment? Pictured, yeah, all those sacrifices pictured a future event, didn't they? Okay.
Well, it made them realize that they were to serve a being greater than them, and that they depended on this being, you know, and that he wanted them to
serve. It's interesting you say depend on, okay, this deity. That we really see that in the book of Exodus, you know, front and center, okay? All the time God is talking directly, you know, to Moses and to some of the elders there too, Joshua. But there's a direct connection there, in almost holding their hand, guiding them. It's a real intimate relationship that God has with Moses. And to build his faith, to maintain his faith, even though he falters, okay? But it also gave him the strength to deal with that murmuring group of people he was with. All right, for those many years, for that 40 years, and not to mention to convince them, you know, before the plagues. So it's a very good relationship that he had with God directly. And you'll see that in others. We saw that also in Genesis. Yes, sir.
I remember
It's different. Well, that was a misconception they had, okay? You certainly weren't responsible for the sins of your parents, okay? Right? All right. Any comment? Okay. All right, now when we finish those 7 points, and the idea of what is law, the Hebrew term for that, and really Torah, We're talking about Pentateuch now as an encompassing 5 books. And what do they encompass? They encompass a lot of history, for one thing. A lot of history. And inside that was a couple of these things we call mountaintops of faith. And when we look at creation, that's one of those mountaintops of faith. Of course, in the book of Genesis. And another one of those great points of faith referred to, depended on, one of those great points of faith that was really in their mind all the time, a thing that gave them confidence and hope, a thing that told them that God was with them, 10 plagues, okay? The Exodus, including that. So all that where God was keeper and guider and protector, gave them provisions, all that Exodus was a great mountaintop of faith for them. And our third mountaintop of faith in Scripture, it gives us great faith today, the resurrection of Christ. Okay, the resurrection of Jesus as the Christ. And that's a great point of faith. Resurrection, pretty special. Pretty special. It gives us the hope, too, that we can, too, be resurrected. Okay, from the grave. So great, great mountaintops of faith to believe in. So we're talking about the next part there, Pentateuch formed the foundation of the rest of the Old Testament. Yeah, that Pentateuch is, again, 25%. But the point is, there's a lot of data in there, a lot of history. Where we come from, how did things happen, where are we going? And again, when you talk about that, you talk about the power and strength and wisdom of God in creation. You can talk about man. What about man and woman? Well, what is sin? What is sin? Is there repercussions when you do sin? Okay? And, you know, death came to all people. Because of that sin, consequence of that. And then Noah, well, great point there, wasn't it? Okay, cleanse the earth of people, those who had evil on their mind continually. So the great flood, great point there to reference in Pentateuch. And then when you come out of that, what do? You see patriarchs. See patriarchs, men and their families trying to serve God. And the greatest ones there, as far as the Abrahamic covenant, that sort of thing, and the promise of God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then you have Israel. Well, what's Israel? Okay, sure, Jacob's family. Jacob. And in that, what about that family? What about that family? God said, "You're own. You're my own. You're my firstborn. You're very special. Unique." So that's all brought out, okay, as we go through the Pentateuch. And of course, when we get to the Egypt and the Exodus and that sort of thing, which is what we'll be dealing with, is the idea that this wisdom and power of God, it's really a foundational proof, okay, for them then, and even for us today, when we consider all that, that Exodus and the plagues and how God was with them. You know, it's
the rest of the world. The whole world was watching what was happening, and they knew what the gods of Egypt were. Here is the one true living God that's showing power over all.
Yeah. And at that time, they did know about that Exodus and how the great, great empire of Egypt was utterly decimated, okay? From their soldiers to their people. And that was a great, great mountain of faith for them, okay? We didn't see how it lasts. The people, as they were moving through the wilderness also, wanderings, they understood it also. Most of them. Anyway, and then we get to Moses. And who was Moses? Well, he'll be a prophet. He'll be a savior. He'll be a lawgiver. A great man of faith, great man of faith who, like you and me, he stumbles, he gets back up, he does his duty, because he knows that God cares about him and the people that he's leading. But he stumbles. There's a payment for that. Now, and also, we get the Ten Commandments, which is really a beginning, okay, of obedient faith, isn't it? Okay? Which is truly the figure that we have to live by today. Obedient faith. Do the best we can. Okay? And then we go into priesthood, and then which really tells them our conduct for worship and teaching and that sort of thing. And then also the last part is a lot of history of disobedience, where their faith falters and their trust falters, and then they're pleaded for and they come back again, and finally they make it into the promised land, the land of milk and honey, Canaan, where they come back to Canaan. And so there's a lot of history when we deal with that Pentateuch. Now, in this next, yes?
I know your list there is not meant to be all inclusive, but you could add to that God's intended plan for mankind.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, the plan of redemption it runs all through these five books in a manner, and we'll get to that in just a second on that. Okay? And again, here's another way it can be divided too. These laws weren't all given in one spot at one time. And I've got some here, the laws of Sinai, laws were given in the wilderness of Paran, laws were given in Moab. And of course, we know through the really don't cover here, but you've got, especially in the last two, where you've got 12 spies searching out the land, Joshua and Caleb, Korah's rebellion, Jericho, Balaam, Peor, census, and other laws. We're going to cover that. We will cover that first part. It deals where they complain a lot. They're given manna about food. There's a lot of different aspects to that. Okay? So, but again, laws were given, ordinances were given along the way. And of course, they're recorded, written down in the book by Moses. All right. Now, one outline of the Pentateuch, the Torah, okay, these first five books, which is our next point, is this development of this nation of Israel, spiritual Israel, and how did that work? Okay, we've got 4 points there. In Genesis 1 through 11, which we studied last time, is that you've got God starting with a clean slate, you know, in the beginning of Genesis. And he grows people for a while, and then they're on the evil continually, which is Genesis 6, 5 through 8. We know that. And then he destroys the world, okay? And then for another 1,500 years or so, then he gets the power of Babel. And when he gets there, well, what are those people? What's their problem? Pride. Not trusting God. Is their problem that maybe they didn't fulfill, the command in Genesis 9:1 to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, because they want to stay in one spot. Maybe they didn't have respect for God, which is apparent, but God confused their languages. And this is all part of the travel of God, the wisdom of God. He's still going to fulfill. He's still going to come through with the Messiah, which is in Genesis chapter 3. So he needs a people to do that. So they scatter. Right? So now 12 through 50, well, Genesis 12 is what? The Abrahamic covenant. Okay? Three great promises. And making those covenants there with them, that again, it runs through Isaac and Jacob, and continues there, the patriarchal history. Then you get to Exodus 1:19, where he's separated, which is where we'll be at. And these people have been in the land of Goshen and Egypt. They were brought there. And then they're separated out. And then God says, I'll bring you out eventually, Okay? But you have to be my own possession. But I'm going to protect you. I'm going to give you the food you need. I'm going to give you the guidance you need. That sort of thing. And Exodus 1 through 19. And you'll be my own possession is a good word. And then Exodus 20 through 34. Well, this separate nation now, which we talked about before, has laws and regulations and ordinances. And that's shown by the priests they have, the holy things. You're a special nation. You'll be exalted nation. You're a holy people. Unique. You're a unique nation because I'm going to guide you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to protect you because I've got a great plan involved, haven't I? Great plan, but I need you people, the lineage. So then the last part set forth in detail all these laws, and they receive these laws. You know what, like Linda said a minute ago, they receive these laws for their good. For their good, okay? That's when God created everything, he said, this is very good. So God's always had our best interest involved. He's always had our welfare involved. And again, looking at his final plan, okay? Culminating in Christ. And so that's that part. Now, development of the plan of redemption. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. What we've got there in Genesis is the beginning of the plan. Well, we saw the plan. First of all, what is sin? Give me some examples of sin from the earliest days. Okay? We've got the examples, don't we? We've got why they sinned. Okay? And there's the repercussions for that sin. We also saw in Genesis 3:15 the words concerning a future Messiah, okay? A Savior. One who would deal with Satan the way he should be dealt with. And of course, you saw that Noah, there was evil mind continually, but there was punishment involved, wasn't there? You understand there's punishment for sin, unrepentable sin, unrepentive sin. So if you remember that also, Noah, and then he went into the plan of redemption, began with what? The covenant with Abraham. Isaac and Jacob. Jacob is Israel. All right? And then Joseph, and then they moved to Egypt. That's in Genesis. Now, in Exodus, we've got there the deliverance of and the covenant with the nation through whom the plan of redemption to be developed. It is developed. Okay? Of course, they had to deal with the plagues, separation from Egypt, the great power and wisdom God applied to that situation. And then they had their laws. And that's when it's developed through there, this idea of sacrificial laws. The idea of those things that would picture, okay, the Messiah. Okay, plan of redemption moving. Leviticus, the plan of redemption. It's the atonement and sacrifices. And you know what? They're all typical of Christ, weren't they? They picture Christ. So remember that also when we've been through Leviticus. And it was all put together out of honor and praise God. Thank God. Think of God all the time. Because again, you're a chosen race, a holy priesthood. All right? And in Numbers, you see there that the plan of redemption assaulted by unbelief and testing. You know what? Those Israelites in Numbers, as they traveled through the remaining part of the wilderness, they lost trust at times of God. Their leader in Moses. And you know, God's people will always be tempted, won't they? They'll always be tempted to lose your trust in God, your confidence in God. But when it does happen, let's remember that we can repent and come back. Okay? Realize our mistakes. Now, because we will disobey law, won't we? We all sin and fall short. And the last book, development of this plan of redemption, is Deuteronomy. Plan of redemption designed for a people who respect God's revealed will. You learn here that God's plan is the only plan. And you know what? All these signs and wonders, all those things are present, okay? And they're used over and over to give us faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. And that... need to understand the commandments and orders of God. And All these, all this plan of redemption reminds us that we have a choice. We can choose in life. God has given us that ability. We can choose to obey or not obey. We can choose to moderately obey or not. We can choose to consider the things that are words of eternal life. We can't consider Scripture to be what it should be. Okay? Guidance for us gives us hope and confidence. And again, we can choose to help others too along that way, to build their hope and their confidence. Okay? And cause them to trust in God because of these five books. Creation, God's plan through creation, God's plan through plagues, but the traveling and the wanderings of this people, this new people, and these laws given for the good. Okay, so we can remember that. Now, we have a choice. Let me stop right there, because we're going to deal with authorship now, and we'll continue that next time. But you can begin to read that. And these are all written by Moses. And there's been things floating around, and there always has been, that written by many authors, appended by many authors, that people like to throw doubt, okay, in people's minds about who authored things. Was it a prophet of God? Deuteronomy 18, yes, Moses was, definitely. But things where your faith will be attacked, okay, where your trust in God will be attacked, and why not have the confidence we should have in Moses as being the lawgiver, the prophet of God, okay?